Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bucks UK TV again. It's episode 85. It's festive. Phil's looking, I think, most festive. Joined by David and Mariana, as well as myself. We're trying to spread good cheer. We're going to do the best we possibly can. However, there is a sort of a black armband sort of feeling about this. Phil, maybe let's start with you. What I think we said was we're talking about how do we do this game justice, but yet not kill ourselves. I think we'll start off with the thing that frustrated us most about the Bucks was ... and then hopefully it'll be like therapy. Hi, my name's Kieran. I'm a Buccaneers fan. Phil, what was the? I know it's hard to narrow it down. What drove you most potty?
Oh, it's just the frustration of the whole thing. It's Bucks beating Bucks at the end of the day. You know, if you go in somewhere and you put up three touchdowns and someone else, you know, puts five touchdowns on you, you kind of think, oh, you know, we didn't play very well today, but they were amazing. But for us, you know, even back to right on that first series of the game, you know, if Keanu Neal doesn't smash into Purdy, you know, helmet to helmet, it's a great sack. They're well behind the sticks. You know, it's a rookie playing in his first start, and you think, actually, you know, this will be a really positive start to the game. We make them punt, we get on the scoreboard, and you know, it could have been an entirely different game. That's the positive spin. But obviously that didn't happen, and it was the poor technique, I suppose, you know, roughing when he didn't need to. It was the interception that got overturned by the penalty. It was the Mike Evans walk-in touchdown that gets overturned by, you know, another holding from Donovan Smith. That's the thing that I think frustrates me the most, is that it's us sabotaging ourselves. It's not that we were comprehensively beaten and played off the park by the 49ers, but you know, there were little things that if they went the other way, it could be a totally different game. So that's kind of what had my blood boiling by the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and obviously so many of the Bucks UK fans come from England, and with the World Cup the week ahead, it feels like it wasn't a nice week to be a referee, I think, for getting our ire. Mariana, if you got something else, was it the same thing frustrating you?
I mean, yeah, I think that sort of film is pointing out there, I guess, the penalties and us getting so many penalties. I think what frustrates me is the sort of waste of the talent that we've got. We've got so much great talent. We've got so many good wide receivers. You know, we've got Mike Evans, Godwin, Julio Jones, Russell Gage as well. We've got so much good on the defense. I mean, obviously, Tom Brady, and it just seems to be a waste of talent with some poor coaching, unfortunately, which, you know, I've been trying to keep it positive and not mention the coaches and not sort of be too down on the team. But after that game, it's hard not to be. So I would say for me, it's just the sort of waste of the really good talent that we know is probably what, still 90% of a Super Bowl winning team.
And it's amazing from a week ago to where, still old, good old Brady, come back still on, to this week to Brady can't hit the side of a barn, overthrow, underthrow. I mean, obviously, the guy's had a personal life from hell in this year, but on the field, I mean, is it age? Is it distraction? What do we think is behind the frustrations with Brady?
I don't know. I mean, it just seems a bit of everything, doesn't it? It doesn't seem to be like the offense has got a consistent game plan. We chop and change it every week. We have different receives then every week. But I think probably the biggest frustration always is we consistently making the same mistakes everywhere across the world. I mean, I was in Carolina when Evans was clean for opening touchdown and he dropped it. We had another big late, you know, start this with Evans and called back from a foul. Brady seems to be overthrowing or underthrowing. He just doesn't seem to have the rhythm there at the minute. And every time we do something, it's called back with a flag. And it's just the same things week after week. And it's like every time we have a great win like last week, it's one step forward, two steps back. And we just don't seem to be able to stop it and get momentum, which is just frustrating because, like we say, we know we've got the talent in the roster and we're just not using it.
As fans, we're clinging to every win, saying, this is it, this is the basis now. Next week, they're going to build on it. Next week, they're going to build on it. But it's, I don't know what it is. That definition of insanity, isn't it, Albert Einstein? Doing the same thing over and over again. I guess for me, so that would be my frustration, is the play calling. I always go back to, if we were Sean Payton and we had Drew Brees, you can bet our receivers would be wide open. That you know, no matter who it is, no matter how quality they are, and you know, and a lot on the forum, I think, talked about the offensive line and the fact that we need to get the ball out quickly. But the same was true on the other side of the ball. I think people were observing, you know, everyone we play, you don't see them getting hanging around in the pocket. They get the ball out quickly. They're running slants. They're doing, you know, drop offs. But just the play calling, it's just so vanilla. Even on the play where we had the Mikey touchdown call back, I was sitting there going, Mikey's open. So, I mean, you know, so but if I can sit there and tell it, I'm not the X's and O champion. I'm not Madden. And if I can call it, then that's how easy it is, isn't it?
I mean, that's it. We're sitting on the forum and we're all literally calling the plays out before they happen. Yeah. And if us sitting this side of the pond can call plays, I'm damn sure defensive coaches on the other side of the field can call them as well. We, you know, we just don't seem to have anything different about us each week. You know, every third down, we seem to throw short of the sticks. You know, we never give our chance to actually make third downs, I think.
Yeah, and there was third and 19 or third and 20, something like that. And, like, don't get me wrong, you know, you could see that the defenders are like, you know, there's like, they're in dime. They're all stood back at the sticks going, do your worst. So I accept you're not going to try and run, nor are you going to have the protection. But what we did, I think, was hand off to Lenny. Or what we would have done in the past is that sort of rocket screen out to a receiver, hoping that the one person in front of them that's a blocker that is going to, you know, do something magic. But, I, you know, as I said on the forum, I was like, at least throw 10 yards. Or 7 yards, give them a chance to get past the crowd, and then they break one or two tackles, something might happen.
Yeah, it's just, Dave kind of highlighted it with this little things from everyone in a way. You know, Brady either overthrew a receiver, or there was a play where he underthrew Scotty Miller. You know, who kind of probably would have been away for a first down or a touchdown or whatever. So, but you know, that's Brady. Then you have Julio Jones who dropped the catch. You have defenders who, you know, if they're on the field as much as they're on the field, they're going to get tired. But we had defenders missing tackles, Joe Tryon running past the quarterback to try and get him down. You know, even Kamada, who's probably been our MVP this season, I don't think had a particularly brilliant game. So it was just, hopefully we've got it all out of the way in one game and we're going to go on a run now. But it just seemed like everything that could go wrong did go wrong, really.
And don't forget Ryan Suckup's kick as well, if we're going to go with everything went wrong. I mean, we don't want to forget that glorious kick that seemed to go somewhere to the sidelines as well.
It was asking a lot of him, though, wasn't it? He's not got the strongest leg.
He's not got the strongest leg.
Justin Tucker kicking 80 yarders in pregame, you know.
But that was every phase of our team. Their first opportunity in that game, they made big mistakes. Yeah. From, you know, that first should have been an easy sack for Neil that he caused a penalty. For the flag on Evans when he broke our offense and missing the field goal. Every phase let us down, really, this week. Normally it's sort of one or two out of three, but just across the board.
And the disappointment of the injury to Vea as well. I think, you know, when it's all going wrong, it never rains, it pours. And losing Vita Vea so early, I think, didn't help. And I don't know how long he's going to be out for. I don't know if he's back this week, but we don't want to see any sort of extended sort of time out for Vea, especially when we're coming up against... And I know we're going to talk about it later, but when we're coming up against a team that can run the ball very well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it. That's the rad. That's the moans. They're out of the way. Now we're going to try and find... Okay, so go on, Phil.
I was going to say, there's one highlight. We had our longest kick return in 10 years or something like that, didn't we?
Well, that's it. So that's it. So let's go around and spin to the positives. So say a bit more about that then, because obviously that was quite a dramatic change, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if you'd have thought, if you're going to cut one player on the Bucks, I don't think he would have picked Darden, although we've all been moaning about it. He's been Mr. Consistent. So.
Yeah, it seemed to come from nowhere, didn't it? I think he had, the fifth or sixth highest kick return average in the league, and he never did anything spectacular. It never looked like we were in danger of returning a kick, you know, for a touchdown, and he'd kind of go to the sidelines. But you're right, it was probably one of the most solid parts of our game so far this season. So for that to happen, you know, the day after the Monday night game was a bit of a surprise, but they obviously had their reasons, and Tompkins has done it, come in and, you know, he looked good in his first game. So long may that continue.
And he seemed to have some vision as well. I mean, like, it wasn't just about that. They weren't just fooling around missing tackles. It felt like a positive set of plays by him, which was really good to see. Okay, so we've got some positives. We're building on this. This is the foundation. Mariana, what's your positive takeaway?
I mean, other than Phil stole my positive takeaway, I would say that I'm still going with our tight ends, tight ends. They're still, you know, performing quite well in what's proving to be quite a tough season for our receivers. So I think Keith make another catch. Kate Otten made another couple of catches. They're turning into those sort of players that Brady kind of loves to get the ball to in sort of desperate times. So they're really turning into those sort of comfort blanket players for him. And I'm pleased to see it. I liked them both when we drafted them. I've actually been surprised by how far Co-Keith has come on, because we talked slightly later. Kate Otten, I was expecting, would start and would be good, but I'm pleased with how Co-Keith has come on as well.
It's actually almost hard to call between them, isn't it, as to maybe which one is at this stage is the better. They've both had shining moments. Definitely. And if you think about it, that Cambray, obviously no spring chicken. Carl Rudolph has definitely got one eye on the old people's home as well. You know, he wasn't dressed. But actually, you think about the future of this team and who might survive a reset or a plunger moment. Actually, both of those players seem like they could be a good foundation for the future.
Absolutely.
David, you're positive.
I think I've got, but bizarrely enough, I've probably got a few. First thing is,
that's still mine.
All three phases of the game were, we could have made a sack on that first play. We could have had a long touchdown, and we got into field goal range. The potential is still there. You know, and it all is about the old execution line. But, you know, we still have got the strength on the roster to actually turn this around. And if you think we've got, you know, we were missing Mike Edwards, Saul Murphy, Bunting and Winfield last week. They must be getting pretty close to getting back to fitness. And, you know, I think this weekend is going to be another tough run. But we've still got two big divisional games to play yet.
It's annoying how they keep stacking those at the back end of the year to keep it close.
But it could actually ultimately work in our favour. I mean, the second positive is we are in a terrible division and we're still top. It is all still to play for. We're, you know, even some teams now already out of the playoff threatening. So as bad and as up and down and as different as we are, it is still there to play for.
And not only that, but the winner gets a home game. I mean, the rest of the NFL must be groaning so loudly. And so I remember, you know, it was the NFC East a few years ago. Every year it takes, someone seems to sort of poo the bed. And you know, one division's clearly worse than everybody else. We're quite fortunate it's ours. My positive is, so I was worried partway through the game. I had visions of a game where we were playing against the Atlanta Falcons. It was the end of the Raheem Morris era. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say, is it 2015, I think, probably? Something around there. And I remember deep into the third quarter, we were, I think, 56-0 down. I think we came back to like 56-14, where they basically decided to, you know, field five defenders or something and just took pity on us. And it didn't get into that situation. So my positive is that the players, I think, were still playing for the coaches. Now, no one's quit. They were trying on every play. Everything was being chased down. No one was arms tackling rather than trying to put their bodies in. So the positive for me is that I think the team are still engaged. I think the players are still trying for themselves, for the coaches, for the fans. So this is a team that desperately wants to win. And that's not all. We can't always take that as red. I think in the NFL, if I'm being honest, you know, with people looking ahead to first round picks and trying to, you know, working out, well, actually, maybe let's get this guy fired and we might have a bit more chance next year. I don't think we're in that category. So I think that's a real positive.
That's what I want to know. Where, you know, why Brady's signing balls that, you know, an interception that he's just thrown, he's signing at the end of the game. Why is he not walking into the locker room and going, do you know what? We've just played the first Mr. Irrelevant to start a quarterback in the NFL. You've made me look like an absolute mug. Like, you know, come on, guys, we're better than this. And you know, you just want to see, you think back to last year or the year before, you know, Bruce Arians would have gone in and you know, giving them the hairdryer treatment or something. And it just feels like that's not coming across from the coaches or the players. And I suppose that goes back to my frustration, really. And you know, it just needs someone to kind of grab the team by the collar and shake him a little bit and just say, come on, guys, let's get it together.
It's true.
Picking up what Kieran was saying, I mean, I think the players still want to play. Mm. I mean, Brady was giving a fair bit of grief on the sidelines. But if the players want to play, then you've got to look at the coaching.
Mm.
And you know, Todd Bowles, I mean, every time he comes on, you just want to fall asleep, really, don't you?
I mean, my concern, I think, is he gave his speech at the end of last week's game against the Saints, and his speech was, I want more of that. I want more of how you play. And concerningly, I think they went and played worse than that. So I'm not sure that was the best speech he'd ever given in terms of, I want more of that.
Well, you'd have thought we'd have walked off that game with 50 points in the bag, not to get two last-minute touchdowns to scrape a victory.
Yeah, I want him to sort of shout and tell them it's not, you know, well done, lads, you won, but you could have beaten them by a lot. This is what we've got to improve on, not I want more of the same.
Mm.
So I know it's a coaching style, and I guess he looks for positives in the way that he coaches, and he's trying to basically be us, I think, and be everybody's friend maybe, and be the nice guy in the room.
I think there's an element of being grounded as well, in the sense that what you want to try and provide, I can see where it comes from. It's trying to provide that baseline constant so that, do you know what, if we're so good, don't get cocky because we're not that good. But if we're bad, you know, we can correct these things. There's different styles. Not everyone walks up and down and rants and shouts and that sort of stuff. And also I remember as a player myself, I never really responded to people shouting at me. I never, you know, I knew what I did wrong. And trust me, more often than not, I did it wrong. But, you know, I was like, well, next time I need to catch it. I don't need anyone to tell me that. I know. You know, I did the hard part. I was open. And I think so. I think certainly at both, you know, the two coordinator roles, it feels like what we've got is that level of gravity. And, you know, imagine it's probably better for your life expectancy and the not needing a triple bypass and things like that as well, in terms of sort of longevity. So I get it, but it clearly does frustrate fans. You've only got to look on social media because it can be seen as not caring. And I think it's a bit like the Brady signing a ball thing. We've had headlines in the past, Brady strops off and doesn't shake the quarterback's hand at the end. What a bad sport. So what's he supposed to do? You know, kind of, you know, and actually, he's obviously a 49ers fan. It's obviously his neck of the woods. He's clearly proud of the guy. I think there's an element of like he's passing the baton on, and he's being a classy player that we would expect him to be. But you're right, when you're like, dude, you know, you've just been walloped, stop signing the balls, you know.
But that's where you get the sort of good cop, bad cop scenario and teams. You know, you need, I think in every team, in every almost place, whatever, you need someone that's going to shout and kick and moan, and equally then someone that brings it to a level. And I just think all of our coaching staff seems vanilla at the minute.
Yeah.
It's true.
I've got one final positive.
Go for it.
We didn't have to stay up and watch the game. Put that in the forum on Sunday, didn't they?
Yes.
I tell you what I did like, Lenny Fournette back and looking mean. He put some blocks in.
Mm.
He looked like he really wanted to play.
Talking of blocks, we should talk out about the pass protection, because it wasn't just him. Rashad White as well. There were a couple of plays where it looked like Brady was about to be knocked into the next field, and like, and they picked up those blockers really, really well. So, yeah. Again, I think that's another sort of thing where it's passion. You can see they're desperately trying to make something happen. The danger comes, I guess, if you're trying to make something happen by yourself. And I feel that certainly with like JTS, Devin White and Levante, that felt at the linebacker level. If you're trying to do it all yourself, you're going to find yourself in the wrong gap when there's a running back going past you. And that's what happened on a lot of those big plays, I think. Okay, that's it. The 49ers are put to bed. We're on to Cincinnati. But first, we have a competition winner to select. So on the forum, as ever, we have one of our weekly prize competitions. All of our members are able to enter those. The prizes are pretty fantastic. We have a tie between Luke Griffiths and John Kiris. So I'm going to try and share the wheel now so that everyone will bear witness to how we fairly select the winner. All right, good luck, both gentlemen, and may the best Bucks UK member win. It's Luke Griffiths. Well done, sir. Congratulations to you. Your prizes will be on the way momentarily. It's always nice that every week at least someone who's a Buccaneers a winner. That's always nice to see. So now we're going to preview our next game. The Bengals are 9-4. I wish the Buccaneers were 9-4. Although, it's only three games difference. You know, you can easily see how a few things go a different way. Okay, Phil, let's start with you. Every now and then, the Bengals, you know, a bit like the Bucks were called the Yucks. I always used to think of them as the Bungles. But they're not anymore, are they?
Well, yeah, nothing better than coming off a heavy loss to face a team that's 5-0 in their last five games, is there? My one silver lining maybe is that Joe Burrow was on the Manning cast on Monday night. So hopefully we'll get the Manning cast curse and it'll work in our favour. But they're a good team, aren't they? I mean, they've lost Jamar Chase to injury. He's now back and they didn't really miss a beat. Joe Mixon went down with injury at the same time and Samaje Perine stepped up at running back and you know, it again powered them through as well. So it seems, you know, we're one of those teams. I think we've just talked about some of the injuries that we've got and maybe not coping so well with those, not having as many bodies to step in. But they seem to be one of those teams where a couple of key guys kind of get lost to injury and somebody else steps in and does a really good job. So it's, you know, it's frustrating that we're not like that. But how do you combat that? You know, how do we stop? They've got three, I think like we have really, they've got three good receivers in Chase, Higgins and Boyd. Obviously Higgins unfathomably dropped a touchdown at the weekend, but they're going to be hard for our secondary to stop, you know, and let's hope that the performance from this weekend kind of it's chalk and cheese with the weekend ahead and you know we kind of lock them out. But it's a real tough task. They're a good team. They obviously hit the Super Bowl last year, you know, coming up just short against the Rams, had a rough start to the season going 0-2, probably a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover, but you know, they're looking like a really, really well-oiled machine again.
Let's stick with their offense against our defense for a moment then. Historically, it seems like whenever we're worried about a team, we just blitz more. Do you think that's probably what we'll end up doing? And is that the recipe to try and beat Cincinnati?
I guess so, in a way. You just want to try and make Burrow get the ball out early, I suppose. I mean, we know that the Bengals O-line isn't very good. Obviously, they took Kappa from us. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays against us, how we play against him. Do we know, you know, maybe some of his weaknesses that we can exploit? But, you know, Burrow got sacked a lot last year and it's a similar story this year. So I think we've got to try and get to the quarterback as quickly as we can, make him get the ball out before some of those receivers are kind of in space. And then who knows what could happen? You know, we might get a couple of interceptions and the game looks a lot brighter than maybe it could do. So, yeah, I think trying to get to the quarterback and trying to blitz is probably a good way to go.
I mean, we've really missed Shaq Barrett.
Yeah,
since he's gone, that's just really shown. I mean, he wasn't necessarily making a lot of sacks, but he was getting close and he was putting a lot of pressure on. JTS just hasn't got the timing right at all. And we just don't look anywhere near as effective without Barrett in there.
You almost wonder about the loss of JPP as well. I think, you know, when we lost him in the summer, you kind of thought, well, he's getting on a bit. He was injured a fair amount last year, so maybe it's time to go and we've got JTS. But actually it shows, you know, probably how much attention was paid to him that it opened up the other side as well for some of the success that Barrett had. And, you know, if we now had JPP and JTS, would one of those get a bit more space? So, Barrett's been a massive loss since he went down.
Likewise, I think if we're talking about their O against our D, I'm concerned, as I said earlier, about the run game. Mixon has been pretty much tearing it up, and if Vea is out, that's really going to stuff us, I think. If Vea is in, we're still struggling. We miss Ndamukong Suh as well, and our replacement there of Akeem Hicks in the middle hasn't really panned out health wise, so we're struggling to stop the run. We've had a few teams run through us quite successfully and knock off some big runs, so that's where I'm really quite worried that the Bengals are going to just run through us and Mixon is going to have an absolute glorious day. Put him on your fantasy team if you've got him.
Mixon's a great player as well. And although everyone thinks of the NFL is a passing league, you know, 100% it is. But there's always the chance to have an incompletion on first down, stuff him on second down, get lucky on third down, you get off the field. But if you keep giving up 3, 4, 5 yards of play, it's a long day on the ground and you're not going anywhere. Because the teams, you know, there is no risk with running. If there's no risk with running, teams will keep running. And Joe Mixon, I think he's kind of, he's don't get me wrong, I know people know who he is, he's famous. I still think he's underrated. He should be up there with, the best. I think, as you mentioned, Phil, the line there is not fantastic. I think if he had a Pro Bowl line that he was running behind, I think it would be, you know, sort of Barry Sanders type territory at times, where he would be, because he can make players miss. He's quick, he's elusive, but he's also powerful. I think, for me, he's the complete package. If there was one Bengal I could steal, I think it would be Joe Mixon. So let's turn to the other side of the ball then.
The other thing on defense is actually, do we get much of our secondary back? So Wingfield, Edgewood, and who else is it? I mean, Sean Murphy Bunting. Because again, I think at the minute also our linebacking core doesn't know where they're playing. I think that they're trying to cover the deficiencies behind them as well as stopping the run. And I think they need that confidence of what's protecting them behind to actually get in there as well. I don't think that White or David have anywhere been anywhere near as effective as they have in the past. And I think they're a little bit lost.
I would agree with that. I don't think, certainly no one's on Pro Bowl form on that defense that we would normally expect, you know, someone to be there, because they're all high profile players now. There's no one around the league. You know, we used to say that Lavonte David was kind of like our best kept secret. He's not anymore. Between that and Devin White, you know that they're well known, and I guess people are game planning for them as well. I think people know to attack Devin White when he's in coverage. I think they know that if they can get JTS to be over aggressive and loop round, you can step up into the pocket or you can run off tackle past him. So we just need to be careful of those things. So let's switch up to the other side round then. So how on earth are we going to score on the Bengals defense and what we need to put together? It feels like, and this might be my lack of knowledge, because I kind of say this quite often when I'm covering up, it feels like whereas the offense is superstars, the Bengals defense is more of a team, isn't it? And it's quite a bit harder to try and, you know, isolate who you need to go after or where the danger's going to come from.
Yeah,
Mariana,
they've got a couple of names in terms of, they've got, I think, Von Bell
and Eli Apple. They're the obvious ones.
Trey Flowers, as you say, they're really not a big name team on their defense. It really is a team game, and I wish we could learn from that. To be fair, I wish we could pick up a bit of that next man up mentality. We'd really do quite well. Given the chance, I think we can score on them. But it's going to depend, obviously, on Brady and if his timing's right with his players, which as of yet I've not seen that it is. So it worries me. I guess where I'm hoping things might change is Brady has a tendency to not like losing. I can only hope. I said it last time, unfortunately, I seem to keep coming on after losses, but it seems to me that something like this loss would be a real turning point where you would sit everyone down and say, this is just, we need to, something needs to change. And in practice, it would happen. I don't know because I'm not in the building, but that's what I'm hoping. And I'm hoping that this week we can come out and score.
I mean, I think it's a lot of it is down to us getting on the board early. If we're not finding ourselves behind, I think the minute we go behind and it gets worse, Brady tries to do it all and almost tries to carry the whole team on his shoulders, and everybody knows what he's going to do. He's not going to get out of the pocket and he's easy to defend. If we can keep in it and, you know, even get the first score on that, that allows us to actually get more of a run game going. That allows us, you know, Wright and Fournette are both picking up 4, 5, 6 yards. If we can keep doing that, it goes back really to exactly what won us the game against Seattle in Munich. Mm. Get out there, get running, get challenging them, make it, you know, then it opens it up in the backfield a bit. You know, with play actions and are they overdoing the run? At the minute, it's too easy to defend. And that's our biggest problem at the minute. You look at every team we play against, how open their receivers are compared with ours at the minute. It's just horrible. But you can almost play to that.
It makes me laugh, though, because we were shouting at each other in Munich. So I was like, they need to be more aggressive. And you're like, no, this is working. Stick with the run. And of course, you were 100% right. But my go-to reaction with all of this is that we need to get more aggressive. And I kind of feel like, on the one hand, you know, I don't care about completion percentage. If Brady completes only 45-50% of passes, but every pass he completes is for a first down, that will move the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, we talk about chunk plays, or, you know, we're not going to run the ball for 5 yards consistently. We've got some good runs in there. So I kind of, the lost art, anyone plays Madden, you know, there's this weird formation called Pro Set where, you know, two receivers, one tight end, two running backs, one either side of the quarterback. No one uses it anymore, ironically. So it's no longer the professional standard that it is when it was called Pro Set. But Brady can drop back from that by dropping back from under center. He's got his eyes in front of him. And he's got a running back either side, so they can pick up anyone that the line are inevitably going to be letting through. There's a tight end in there somewhere, or a split receiver that if you need to help chip on the edge, you can. So you're only sending three receivers downfield. And if one of the running backs doesn't have to pick up a blocker, they can then sort of leak out into that sort of flare pattern. But then those three receivers will be a blend of Evans, Godwin, Jones, Gage. And, you know, I'm all right with that. Just whichever one of our brilliant receivers is out there, throw three of them out there. Let two of them run a combination. The other one goes deep, and that's your progression. And I just feel like once we do that, and then they have to start, you know, coming out in like nickel, maybe even dime to defend it. They have to have more people back there, or at least the linebackers will drop back. Then I feel like that's when our running game can open up. And, you know, so actually I'd love to, you know, I don't want to say it, but no, second and 10, I wouldn't mind running on that. But you know what? Third and two, I want us to be passing. I want us to be aggressive. I'm bored of banging into a line on short yardage to go and it coming up short. That's Michael. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, everybody thinks back, you know, if you think of the Super Bowl run, what's one of the first plays that comes to mind? It's that one, you know, just before halftime in Green Bay, scooter over the top. And we just don't seem to be doing that at the moment. Or we do it once in a game that gets called back for a holding penalty. But they're, you know, they're the exciting, the sexy plays that you want to see, aren't they? I will just say, though, I think Rashad White over the last kind of 3 or 4 weeks has been, you know, much better than he was early in the season. I think when we took him in the draft, having just re-signed Lenny, I was, you know, a little surprised, thinking, "Well, why do we need another running back? You know, we got Vaughan, we got Bernard." But actually, you know, it's looking like a good decision, and actually, I think he's going to be a top quality NFL running back. So I think he's doing really well. But we need to make more opportunities to use the run game, don't we? We can't be 2 scores behind in a game in the first quarter, because then you just abandon the run straight away. That affects the passing game, and we don't then get those big chunk plays. So I want to see us, if we get the ball first, I want to see us score first. If we get us, you know, if they have the ball and we can get a stop, I want to see us put a score up and then actually start to develop that run game, because then that brings play action into the mix as well.
Mariana, run or pass, pick your poison.
I'm going to go run. Lenny, my boy, he's going to knock off some yards this week. I also think get Co-Keith out there again. He will quite often play in that sort of lead, sort of blocking half back blocking role, rather than just a tight end role. And I like seeing him out there in that sort of either position. He can, again, as you say, he can either leak out or he can sort of block and give the space for the running back to get through. So I like to see him out there. But Lenny, my boy Lenny's going to get he's going to get 100 yards.
I guess if you are going to run the ball, what you're saying is we want to keep this game close. We want to keep the ball away from the Bengals as possible. So if you're going to do it, commit to it properly. Seriously, every snap is with 2 seconds to go. You're trying to keep the clock running. You're trying to stay in bounds. And you're going to try and run a variety of plays. You know, so not just up the middle, up the gut, but some sort of outside trap play, those sorts of things. I can't remember the last time I saw our guards pulling.
I mean, I suppose it does eat up time off the clock. We know that the Bengals can score quickly. They can get those sort of deep shots downfield, because we can see Burrow passing to Ja'Marr Chase deep, like as we've seen throughout the season. So I think the more time we can eat up using our run game effectively, that will probably actually suit us well, because then we can hopefully limit their time on the ball. Because I'm worried that they would score quickly against us and potentially take off any advantage that we do get.
Okay, so
Jensen's been in the run game. Yes. I think, you know, Haynes has done all right under centre, and I can't really think, touch wood, I can't really think of any, you know, missed snaps and failed snaps and stuff like that where the ball's gone sailing over Brady's head. But, you know, if I think of Jensen, he's snapping the ball back to the running back and then pushing guys forward and, you know, punching that hole through that one of the guys can run through. You know, Ronald Jones's touchdown in Carolina 2 seasons ago, you know, 98 yards. Jensen made that hole, pushed guys out the way and open up that gap. So it really does show, I think, what we're missing with him. And they've still been obviously very secretive with what's gone on with his injury. But you do wonder if we can kind of limp to the playoffs and get that home game. You know, if we could get him back, it might make such a difference. Who knows?
And of course, it's not either or in terms of Haynes or Jensen, because if you've got Jensen, then you can still just put Haynes somewhere else on the line.
Yeah, and he's looked good, yeah. So you know, maybe that'll strengthen the line elsewhere.
I mean, what do you think about the use of Mike Evans?
Not on the line. I wouldn't put him there.
Well, I don't know. Maybe for Donovan Smith.
It's strange, isn't it? There's the touchdown that he drops in Carolina. There's the one that came back at the weekend. So it's not like he's not had any opportunities. But then there was one, was there a catch in the fourth quarter, where he caught it and kind of went straight off hobbling?
Yeah.
So yeah. He's not really a guy, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like he's ever really been a guy to catch the ball, fake out a defender, run 20 or 30 yards. You know, I don't know if he's banged up and he's not getting down the field quick enough and you know, doesn't want contact or something like that. Mate, you know, that can be the only reason. I think it's odd, isn't it? We're not looking for him in the red zone either. We had that one opportunity on Sunday where Brady threw it at his feet. But you'd have thought last year, I don't know if it's because we had Gronk and everybody knew we had to try and, you know, they had to try and cover Gronk and Evans was a bit more open. But I feel like he's always been a red zone threat for us. And this year it's, for whatever reason, they've just not looked that way.
I mean, he had 9 targets. But obviously, like you say, it's the throwing at the feet. It's what counts as a target, I guess, statistically. Because he and Godwin both had 9 targets. Godwin had 5 receptions. Mikey had 4. And, of course, Godwin's had one that he dropped that he'd probably want to come back again. So, I don't think you can single him out. But you're right. It's not like classic Mikey, is it?
It just didn't look right, does it? Something's...
And the thing is, if you're throwing deep at Mikey, and it's contested, you'd put your money on him to win it.
Oh,
100%.
Yeah, and he's not pushing off. A defensive penalty. Yeah.
He's not pushing off like he used to. That doesn't happen anymore.
No. So I suppose, actually, if you think about the Saints game, he didn't get the yardage, but it was his, you know, the pass interference on him that got us the ball, you know, at the 1 yard line or whatever it was for that first touchdown. So
people were making quite a lot of like, oh, he's not quite got the chemistry that he had with Brady at first, but I don't quite see that. As you say, he catches that long touchdown pass, and we've got a score. It was only pulled back because of the Donovan Smith penalty. So how can you say he's not got the... That was perfectly in stride. That was perfectly chemistry, right? Yeah. So I'm not seeing this... I feel like that's almost the punditry and the sports casters and whatnot trying to make a big deal out of something that maybe isn't there. Yeah. I still think Brady and Evans have got a chemistry, and Brady... He's going to have his most success with Evans in terms of being our number one receiver.
Yeah. For all the talk of not having chemistry, he's still within touching distance of a 1,000-yard season. He only needs, 50 yards a game, which is doable, hopefully. But to me, I think he's not looked right since getting mashed by those two defenders in the Rams game. Mm. He went off really early in that game, didn't he? And you know, I don't know if he has a rib issue or something like that. But
yeah, he got sandwiched very badly in that game. And you're right. Maybe he is carrying some sort of, whether it's a muscle sort of that sort of abdominal muscles or something.
Well, it's bruised ribs, yeah. It really hurts.
If you can't rest and you keep getting hit every week, every game, it's never going to get, you know, really better, is it?
Speaking of getting hit in every game, we've got to take a hit now. What's the score going to be, David? Final score, Bucks Bengals.
42-17, Bengals.
Okay, that's the head speaking. Phil, have you got the heart tuned in?
It's got to be 70-0 Bucks, doesn't it?
wake up, Phil. It's time to go to work.
For me, I'm going to go. This is going to be the week it all comes together, right? We're going to go 31-21 Bucks.
Okay. Mariana?
Head definitely says Bengals, but I'm a Bucks fan, and so I'm going with the heart, and I'm going to predict a close one. 14-13.
I was going to say the same score. You're stealing my stuff.
I mean, I just went with first psychology because I thought we were going to have a blowout last week. So
I think 14-13. I think they'll score three times. We'll score twice. But if we can hold them to field goals down on the goal line, that could be the difference. Yeah. And I think if we can chew up the clock or keep them off the field somehow by, you know, 10-yard pass incompletion, 10-yard pass incompletion, that'll still chew up the drives as well. So, okay, so hopefully you'll agree with us that we're more likely to win than not, but we're not quite sure whether we're being realistic or not. So let us know in the comments below. Make sure you give us a big thumbs up and subscribe and do all the likey stuff and tick the bell and all those other things. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter. We're getting dangerously close now to 9,000 followers on Twitter, 1,500 on Insta. We really appreciate you coming along. If you search us out, we're even on TikTok. We're not quite sure why or what we're doing on it, but we're trying our best. You're not going to see any silly dances, but you might see some good pictures of Bucks fans doing their thing.
You might see some silly dances if we win on Sunday.
Okay, you've heard it here first.
Is that a promise, Dave?
If we win, a montage of silly dances. Okay, you promised it now. Cool. Hopefully, thanks for joining us. Thanks for watching. Thanks to Bucks Report as well for helping us promote the podcast. Mariana, David, Phil, thank you very much. And as ever, we end on a high with a hearty Go Bucks!
Go Bucks! Bucks!